I want to read something to you by Walter Kaiser. Walter Kaiser wrote a wonderful book called God's Promise Plan. And it's a wonderful book that shows how God throughout the scriptures, through the covenants that he made with Adam and Eve, Abraham, David, and others, has fulfilled and is orchestrating the marvelous plan of salvation, the salvation of mankind through his Son, Jesus Christ. He says of God's promise plan, he says, the content of each of the covenants and promises in the scriptures was both retained and progressively enriched, enlarged, and incorporated into a body of foundational truths that carried the main burden of the whole message and plan of the Bible. One of the reasons that we are studying Isaiah and we're going to be studying Hebrews as well is to demonstrate how God throughout history is orchestrating this marvelous plan of salvation for our eternal souls throughout history, and has done it according to his promises to his people throughout the centuries. Now, he could have done it a lot easier. But the more I study the scriptures, the more I realize that God wanted us to have such a confidence in his plan of salvation that he orchestrated it in such a way that each step of the way with people that he has recorded in scriptures, he made promises to them so that they would understand the hope that was coming, and so that we as Christians could look back on those historical events and see how it has all come together and be able to have confidence in what he has told us is going to happen in the future. That is what we see in God's promise plan. We see it throughout history, and I'm thankful for that. Yeah, just a little bit down. So as we look at chapter 9 of Isaiah, we see one of those recorded prophecies. We see one of those recorded promises. In this instance, it's made to the nation of Israel. Israel, at this particular time when Isaiah is writing, was under the oppression of Assyria. Now, the Assyrians were a great, mighty empire at this time, and they had come in and they had basically taken over. They took over all of northern Israel, and they now had oppressed southern Israel to the point where they were having to pay big taxes and were basically ruled and controlled by the whims of the Assyrians. This was coming as a result of God's judgment upon Israel because they had turned their backs on God. But nevertheless, God had a plan for Israel and God's people. And so he promised David that he would fulfill this plan through the nation of Israel. And God had not forgotten his promises. And so at this point, he is revealing to the nation of Israel through the prophet of Isaiah that although they are still under this oppression and judgment of God through the Assyrian people, that it wasn't going to be forever. It was going to end. This oppression that they were facing was going to come to an end at some point. And that's what I want us to see today. First of all, I want us to see the messianic promises were the foundation of faith even before Jesus came. We see here in verse 1 that God's judgment on his people, Israel, is going to end. Look at verse 1. It says, nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at the first he lightly esteemed. and the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles. The gloom will not be there forever. This oppression that they're facing is going to end. And they will someday be released from this oppression. And with this announcement, as with many announcements by the prophets, there is not only it's called a dual prophecy, where not only does this apply to their present situation, but it also applies to their eternal situation. So what God is saying here to the nation of Israel specifically is that the oppression they're facing from Assyria is not going to last forever. But he's giving them a greater hope than that, that's going to be an eternal hope. And that's what God does for us. I want you to understand something. You're going through some things that might feel oppressing in your life. Today, you may feel oppressed by some things that are going on in your life today. I want you to know something. God sees your problems. He sees what is oppressing you. He sees the things that are hurting you, whether that be a family situation, a relational situation, a physical situation. God sees what you are going through. He understands what you are going through. He has a plan to deliver you from those oppressions. He does. And he wants to help you right now, right here, with those things. But he also has an ultimate plan for you. He has an ultimate plan for you, an eternal plan for you. And so that eternal plan is what Jesus Christ accomplished when he died on the cross and rose again. When God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, as we see in chapter 7 of Isaiah, verse 14, he was born of a virgin. When God sent Jesus, he sent him to provide you with an eternal escape from the oppression that you are under right now. You see, as sinners, and we're all sinners, every one of us has sinned against God. None of us should think that we're better than anyone else, because we've all sinned. But as sinners, we were under or are under the condemnation of God. But if we will trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us through his coming and dying on the cross and rising again, then we're no longer under condemnation. We are now eternally set to be released from the oppression that we are under. We'll be released from that. No longer do we have to feel guilt for our sin. No longer do we have to have anxiety about what is going to happen to us after we die. We will have a peace in our heart from the Prince of Peace, as we're told here in this passage. Why? Because of what Jesus Christ has done. And it didn't just start when Jesus came. It started way back here and even before. As a matter of fact, it started right after Adam and Eve had sinned. In Genesis 3:15, as God was talking to the serpent, the old devil, who had tempted Eve to sin, he said, "I am going to provide through the seed of woman a savior." That's basically what he said. And that was the start of God's promised plan to us. But it also was orchestrated here in this passage of Scripture, where God promises this Savior. In verse 6, he says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God." And there was no one, pages in my Bible. I should just read it from this right here. Yes, one. I was wondering where Prince of Peace was. There it is. Okay, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is the hope that we have. We have this hope. And before Jesus even came to this earth, the foundation of our faith was already laid. It was already promised to us. It's magnificent to see how this hope was given to the nation of Israel about 800 years before Jesus even came. And yet, we see that it was directly connected to Jesus. You'll notice here in chapter 9 that it says in verse 2, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. And you have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil." Here is a nation under oppression from a country that has great worldwide power, and yet they have a source of joy because they've seen the light. What was that light? Well, they may not have known his name specifically, but we do now. His name is Jesus. And we're told in Matthew chapter 4, those very things. It says, "Now when Jesus heard that John had been put into prison, he departed to Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, 'The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned.'" So here we see that Jesus' very life was a fulfillment of a prophecy that came 800 years prior to his birth. That's a miracle, folks. As a matter of fact, that's not the only promise that was made about the Messiah. Many, many promises were made about the Messiah hundreds of years before he even came to this earth, and he confirmed them in his life. Now, I want you to understand that the odds of that happening are astronomical. As a matter of fact, the odds are so great that it's beyond possibility. You know, you get to a number so great that it's actually beyond possibility, except if you're God. Except if you're God. You see, God can do anything he wants. God can make the impossible possible because he is God. That's how we know who God is. I was talking to someone the other day, and they asked me a very serious question. How do we know God? How do we know who God is? That's an excellent question. This is an excellent answer. How do we know who God is? Because he has demonstrated who he is throughout history and has given us a recorded message of who he is in the scriptures. He has preserved that message throughout the millennia. And we see a God who is making sure, even today, that we know exactly who he is. And so that's a good question to ask. How do I know who God is? Ask yourself, has anyone demonstrated who God is better than Jesus Christ and the God of Israel? Has anyone? No, you will not. God has made it clear to mankind who he is. And so for us to brush him off and not recognize him for who he is, that will not be held without, you don't have an excuse. Romans 1 tells us that no one has an excuse for that question of who God is. He said that the heavens and the earth declare who he is. We know that he is a great creator. But not only that, we have more specific revelation. As a matter of fact, you're probably experiencing that revelation right now. Whether you've accepted Christ as your Savior or not, the Holy Spirit may be confirming in you right now, and probably is confirming in you right now, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that he is the one who can forgive you of your sins and give you eternal life. So we are without excuse in knowing who God is. And these foundational promises made by God throughout history show us who Jesus is and God's wonderful plan. The people of Israel needed hope, and God gave it to them through the promise of Jesus. The Prince of Peace gave assurance to the people under oppression, and that's what he will do for you. He can give anyone under oppression from the difficulties of life peace as they trust in Jesus. That's what we want to understand. Yes, this world brings oppression. It brings difficulties. But God is a deliverer from those things. Jesus said, "My peace I leave you. In me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." That's what we have in Jesus Christ. Secondly, the messianic promises are the foundation of faith even after Jesus came to the earth. We see the promise of the Messiah came through his birth as a child. His birth was a big sign that better days were to come. That is why we celebrate the birth of Jesus, because we recognize that it signals better days to come. I'm so grateful for that wonderful hope that we have in Jesus Christ, that there are better days to come. We not only have his birth as a sign of our hope in Christ, but we have his life, his death, burial, and resurrection. God's plan of salvation has been even more revealed to us, and it is the foundation of our faith. Jesus has shown through his works that to us that he is a wonderful counselor. Everything he instructs us in is perfect wisdom. I'm so grateful to have a counselor. We're talking about this on Wednesday nights. We're talking about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I encourage everyone that can come on Wednesday nights to come to our Bible study, because we're learning some great things about the Holy Spirit and how he produces the fruits of the Spirit in us and how He guides us. He is a wonderful counselor. And to be able to have Him guiding our lives is a great and mighty blessing. It really is. We not only have that, but we have, He has shown us He is the mighty God through His miracles. You know, Jesus did many miracles while He was on earth. Sometimes we forget about those miracles. We want to not seem to dwell on the dramatic in life, maybe because we don't experience those kind of things. But I want us to understand, those aren't just stories. Jesus really did perform great miracles, supernatural acts while He was upon the earth. And they are recorded for us as facts, not storytelling, not mythological things, but actual facts. They really did happen. As a matter of fact, those who witnessed His miracles were willing to die instead of renouncing those miracles as falsehoods. They were willing to die rather than say what Jesus did was false. And so there's many things that we can understand. Finally, the messianic promises are the foundation of our faith even in the future. I want you to understand that. Now, in verse 6 is actually two prophecies about the Messiah. One talking about His first coming, and then the other talking about His second coming. You see, the future of all mankind, the future hope of all mankind is Jesus, because He is the everlasting Father. He will reign forever, and there will be peace for all eternity. You see, Jesus is coming again. When He rose, and the disciples and everybody that was around in the crowd saw Him go up into the air, two angels were standing by them, and they said, "Why do you gaze up in the air? He's going to come back in like manner someday." You see, Jesus is coming again someday. And when He does, our eternal hope and God's promised plan will be fulfilled. It will be fulfilled, and we will have eternal bliss with Jesus Christ. That is the hope we have. So God has proven that He is a keeper of promises in the past. He has proven that He can orchestrate His plan regardless of what's going on in the world and regardless of what's going on in our lives. And He has told us that He is going to complete His plan at the second coming of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what our hope is, folks. And that's what I hope we will all trust in. I hope that today you can say with a firm confidence that your hope is in Jesus Christ and Him alone for the salvation of your souls, that you have asked Him to forgive you of your sins and be your Lord and Savior, that you know without a doubt that Christ has a glorious future for you and it will culminate at His second coming. That's what we have in Jesus Christ. And that is the hope, the plan that God has orchestrated throughout history for all mankind.